Hi, I'm Paul Stringfellow. Welcome to another episode of Tech Takeaways. I'm joined, as always, by my dynamic co-host. I'm going to stop picking on him for not being here for like an episode. Wayne Miller. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, everybody. Good to be back.
How you doing?
Yeah, I wasn't really away, but it's good to be back.
You've been back. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he was busy working. We had it on special mission. Yeah. So he couldn't mess around with me and Jason doing podcasts. He had actual work to do. It's only I get to mess around doing podcasts all the time, so that's good. We're going to pick up our conversation that we had in our last episode with Mr. Price. But we're going to talk some more about kind of the development of an IT leader, the kind of day-to-day work around IT leadership, you know, and we, so welcome David back. Hi, David.
Yep. There we go. I'm back for another go.
Yep. It feels like you've never been away, to be honest.
Feels like that as well for me.
It's, that's good. You know, I mean, obviously I've got changed, took my jacket off. So it looked like I was wearing different clothes. So, you know, again, all the magic of podcasts, we're just dispelling all of those myths.
How many people actually watched us versus listening? That's just wasted, isn't it?
For the people who are listening only, get to the tubes, check out the video, and then subscribe to both because it looks good on Josh's numbers when he's doing our marketing. So it's all right. It's all about the clips. In last chat, you know, there's some really interesting stuff we covered around things like how you procure technology, the importance of kind of business involvement, the importance of, you know, not just deploying IT for IT's sake. And one of the things I wanted to pick up on was something you kind of touched on the last episode, because I think it's a really interesting challenge to try and address. You talked about how you measure the success of your IT purchases. And I suppose, actually, maybe before we do that, what we probably should do, just in case you haven't watched the previous episode and you've got no idea who David is, do you want to tell us very briefly again who you are? And then the rest of you, go back and watch the last clip and then we'll be up to speed. But just introduce yourself again let's talk about how you measure.
Brilliant. So take two, David Price, IT Director for Curtains, engineering firm based in Liverpool, 14 offices up and down the UK. Been in role about 4 years now.
Lots of IT infrastructure to deal with. We talked last time about kind of how that's changed over your time there. You know, some of that you kind of rocked up at the right time, didn't you? Pandemic, deal with this. But you talked about this idea of when you make technology investments, it's important that you can show the value of that investment. So I was really intrigued about how you go about, and I'm sure there isn't just one kind of magic bullet that fixes all this, but how do you go about in general measuring it, reporting to the business, and maybe what kind of things do you find useful to report to the non-IT part of the business?
Yeah, it's a valid question, to be fair. And I don't think there's one answer fixes it all, to be fair. Across our board and across the business board, there's different people who sit around that table. So there's the sort of the operational side of the business, so the engineers within there, so project focus. But then we have the likes of L&D, HR, finance sat around the same table. And again, those different people will respond in different ways and they have different personalities as well. And when we come to IT, people look at IT with a different view of the world. What, you know, some finance might look at it from, well, what are they bringing for that spend? HR will look at it from, well, what are IT doing for those end users who are completely complaining about IT all the time, maybe, or got frustrations with IT. And then certainly from a project delivery point of view.
Are you saying that you have some users? I'm sure you don't have users. Are you saying in general companies who aren't you might have users who complain about IT?
Oh, you put me on the spot there, haven't you?
Nobody in your company, I don't mean anybody in your company would do that.
No, it's an interesting one. Operational IT tends to get a bad rep, I'd say. Don't get me wrong, it's a difficult job. It's a difficult position to be in. You're on the coalface all the time. You've got to be ready for new starters coming into business. You've got to be ready to turn levers off within the business on time. You've got to be delivering the software and applications 24/7. You're constantly there. And, you know, for the first line support within our business and other sectors, other businesses, they are in the coalface. It is a difficult job.
It's interesting. I've always thought of IT leaders like goalkeepers because no one says, well done, clean sheet, pat on the back, but they shout at you when they let seven in or six in or there's a mistake, isn't it? You know, and IT's a bit like that, isn't it? You know, the people are at the happiest when there's no fuss, there's nothing being said. But it's true, isn't it? You know, an IT tech leader is, you know, similar to a goalie in that way.
No, but it is certainly, and I quite like that analogy.
I do as well.
the analogy I always use within our business is that black box, because there's certain elements of IT that we run within that black box scenario, whereas, guys, you don't need to know about it. It's working, it's operational. We're doing it. You know, with the fact you're not hearing from us and end users aren't talking about it, that means it's working great. Yeah. So don't worry about it. If other people around the board table or senior people in our business had to worry about what we've got to worry about all the time, they'd never get the job done. Mm. You know, and I think that's part of what we do, is calculating that risk, what needs to be communicated to not only senior people, to middle managers and staff as well, and understanding that messaging all the time. Again, we can talk about messaging as well. What do we tell the users? What will the users listen to, and what don't we tell users? Because we can send loads of emails, we send loads of Teams chats, we can do multiple different channels, but will people actually listen to us? And again, that's another challenge that we face. So yeah, maybe I'll leave it there.
But I think, you know, while we're having a little fun go at users, and it was just a bit of fun. But actually the important part, I think, of that kind of reporting, it, you know, and actually that kind of, you know, because we talked about, you know, the importance of reporting being about showing value to the business. Yep. You know, and I think it's always important. And I think today most IT leaders do understand that. But I think that importance of realising that we are there to serve the business and the users are part of that. And actually, if the users are having a terrible experience, yep, then we're not doing our job. And actually the business then suffers because the users are having a terrible, you know. And I thought you made a really interesting point about, and I don't know whether you've got any examples of, but I thought really interesting point about actually what do you tell the end users? You know, they don't want to hear, I'm doing a great job, leave me alone. Yeah. Because when something's broken, you're not doing a great job. You know, the goalkeeper analogy is a good one. But what kind of things do you report to users? You know, what do you find useful for people to know?
Yeah, again, it's a valid question. It's a good one. I think, again, from what we like to tell users is some of the positive stuff we've done, whether that's some recent change we've implemented and to show those changes have come through. Again, we don't sit there and say, right, guys, we've had 30,000 emails in this week and we've blocked 10,000 of them because they've all been phishing attempts. Users aren't bothered about that, to be fair. But then that one phishing email that did get through to the inbox, so they'll certainly shout about that.
Because yeah, you only have to do one once.
You know, exactly, yeah. So again, it's that balance, isn't it? So what do we tell them? I don't know. Sometimes we don't tell them a lot, to be fair. We certainly tell them about the new stuff coming in, some of the challenges that we're seeing. What's worked for us is sometimes we've been incredibly busy, whether that's delivering strategic projects that are just so close that need an extra little bit of hands-on to get it over the line. Sometimes it's been the service desk has been completely full steam ahead and, you know, we're quite slow to respond to it. So they've got some a level where we just need to take a little bit of a break here and just get through the ones that are a little bit older. And sometimes it just tell the users that, look, we're dead busy, we're overstretched, we've got sickness in the department, or we've got an ongoing cyber incident, or luckily we haven't, frankly, or I don't think we have while I'm being sat here. But yeah, sometimes just be open and honest with the users, tell them the stuff that they will like to hear, whether it's stuff that is difficult for you to say sometimes, because again, we all like to think and we all like to communicate that message that everything's great, everything's well. Sometimes it is difficult.
My question to you is about how you kind of communicate out.
Yep.
But what about, because we talked, didn't we, about the importance of kind of business communication and you having a, yeah, because people might be surprised we're not talking a lot about technology here, but actually, and it's really interesting what you talked about, is that business relationship. So do you have any particular mechanisms for encouraging feedback, whether it's from users or the rest of the business? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that is a question, to be fair. It's something I'm doing at the moment, is we're looking at the almost the change in role of IT and what our change in role within staff within the IT department do as well, and trying to make them think about different ways of operating, how we operate. So again, we've just gone out to certain people within the business, not everyone within the business, before everyone starts hearing me saying, where was my questions? but we've just gone out to them with certain questions on, what's your view of IT? What do you think we're responsible for? What are we good at? What are we bad at, guys, as well? Is there anything that we don't do that you should expect us to do? So some of those questions that are quite open-ended and can give people an ability to respond to us. And again, they've gone to every single level of staff in the business. And, you know, I don't hope we'll get many surprises in that response. But again, you never know. But I think if you don't ask, you don't know sometimes what users are thinking. Even though we do have that relationship, and me just sitting here today as IT director, again, you don't get away from, you need that relationship with the end staff, with the workforce. So whenever I go into an office, I do make an effort of speaking to nearly everyone within that office, because you'll get warts and all, and because you're someone who's not based in that office, they will tell you stuff that you don't want to hear as well, whether that's, you know, the family woes, the marital woes. It's an interesting one as well. I mean, you could do a whole podcast on stuff I've been told to tell you about that over the time, but...
Not for broadcast.
Yeah, certainly not for today, but yeah, we're doing that at the moment. We've asked staff what's their views of IT at the moment, so we're looking to get that feedback from it, and then just we'll be able to respond to that. I say hopefully there's not too much stuff that we're not considering, there's not in train. I think some of our strategies within the business that are well in train, whether that's around our digital strategy, whether that's our unified comms strategy, or whatever it may be. Some of this stuff is nearly there. Some of it is just started, and some of it is definitely just at the end and about to launch. So some of this stuff we haven't told people about as well. It's not the right time. So again, we're just, one project at the moment is our internet. So we're redeveloping the internet at the moment. Again, it's done in line with our comms department. And again, that'll be coming later on this year. So a nice change for the business. A difficult
are
one.
Are you launching the internet refresh on this show now? Is that what you're
Well, we've got to put a link to it. Yeah, but,
yeah. Whichever way it is, yeah. But no, that's in train. And so it's certainly that's been one way we've communicated and spoke to staff or consulted
with
them quite a lot.
Can I ask you a question, Dave, about looking forward? You know, I don't think we could do a podcast without talking about AI.
Yep.
You know, how is AI having, what implications are you considering when, you know, people are using ChatGPT, Copilot? You know, how is that going to change? You know, I used it really well last night. Yep. You know,
I feel there's a show we should be doing on it.
There was a table of access points and antennas and throughput. You know, I was pretty impressed with myself. Now we've just got to figure out if it's true.
Yeah.
But how is what kind of impact is it having on, you know, in you and the organisation?
Yeah, it's interesting when we talk about AI, because I guess from my perspective, is it AI new within what we're doing? Because in a lot of places it's badged as AI now, but it's not really AI, is it? Guys, we've been doing this for years. It's just now called AI.
You're cynic.
You know? Yeah. Well, that's just the way it is. But I guess being serious now, I guess when we talk about the business and look at it, it does present an opportunity to us as a business, but also with my IT director's hat on, it presents a lot of risk to us as well. So it's understanding what we focus our time on and what we don't as well. It's certainly a conversation that we're talking about more and more within work. I guess one thing we mentioned before is, you know, I was going to mention the name but I won't, but it's that consumerization of IT. It's almost leapt over IT and the IT department and gone straight into the laps of our end user at the moment. Yeah. And our end users said, wow, this is the best thing since sliced bread. You know, AI, you know, it's, all right, calm down, guys. It is honest and there is potential for us to use it, but we've got to do it in the right way. If we've almost put a flag in the ground, the business to say, like, and that communication piece again, guys, we're aware of it, we're talking about it, we've got a strategy on it now within the business. We did an internal podcast, a seminar to the business on AI, just to set the scene so everyone's aware of what we're talking about. And then what we've done to people is say, just talk to us, communicate with us, put a ticket into the service desk if you want to use AI, so we can really understand what you're trying to do, what agent you're using or bot you're using, so then we can say, is that really what we should be doing or not? So trying to put a bit of control in that. I guess if we go back 5 or 10 years ago within IT would have been the departments, the blockers, the no guys that, oh, don't go to IT, they'll say no, we can't do that. And we would have blocked it and closed all access up and down. We've gone the other way on this one. So we've said, fine, go and do it. Utilize, do what you want. We can log and we can see what websites and what agents everyone's using within the business. So again, like I mentioned before, that's in our back pocket. It's not something that we sit there and look at 24/7, day in, day out. But if you want it, we can go and get that information. Yeah, again, that visibility is there. And again, I think that's dead important to me, is that having that visibility and understanding what's going on within your ecosystem is dead important.
Well, there's two really interesting things that you said in there. And I think, you know, I think one of that IT... We've talked a lot here, and we did in the last episode about the importance of kind of business communication. Yep. We're talking to the business about what it is the business needs to achieve. You know, and I think probably a lot of us, if we wind the clock back, I don't know, 15 years perhaps, we've been used to that kind of IT kingdom and actually almost forgetting, thinking that we run IT for the benefit of IT and you must do what IT tell you. But actually it's about business enablement. So, you know, you just can't be a department. I mean, occasionally you need to be the department that says you really can't be doing that because, but actually in terms of innovation and how the business might be able to use this kind of consumerized IT, I mean, that's the approach. And I'm hoping people watching this are actually listening to this and realizing that's very enlightened. And I'm sure some people are already doing that. But actually that idea of you tell us what you want to be able to do. And do you know what? If you've got examples of where using, you know, a Microsoft Copilot or ChatGPT, you know, if you've got examples of where that's working for you, you come tell us. And then if we can enable that across the business and we can train the model in the right way. You know, so I think that's, you know, it's a really interesting approach, you know, and is that something that you try and do broadly? I mean, it's easy to talk about AI, but are you looking to encourage that innovation all the time?
Yeah, innovation all the time, yes, certainly. So, yeah, we're trying to, you know, I think the phrase we use in our business is work smarter and not harder. And God, I know that's a bit of a strap line and whichever, but seriously, that's what we're trying to do. You know, every business margins are getting tighter and harder, isn't it? So we've got to all try and do things a little bit better. And again, that term better is a difficult one for me at times as well, because it's easy to say, let's just do things better. But that's kind of what we're trying to do. Trying to do things, you know, better, smarter. And how can we do that? Innovate, you know, and again, it's not just sat with me. It can't just be sat with one individual person within a lot of ways to say, so Dave, what are we innovating today? No, it's challenge everyone. And again, it's go back to that, you know, that 1% piece, isn't it? If we all did one thing better every single day, whether that's, you know, 1 or 2 minutes every single day, imagine how much better the business would be. Challenging everyone and having that again, come back to communication, that conversation. Again, we've got young people coming into our business. We take on 40 other apprentices every single year. Or people come from university. These are young, clever people now who have been bought and bred around IT. They had mobile phones in school now, and you know they come into our business and expect stuff to be there and expect stuff to happen. These guys are great. Again, we've got to harness them at times and put them back onto what we're both meant to do. But have that conversation, you know, learn from them. Bring it back into the real world at times. What I mean by that, we've got policies and procedures that we've got to follow and do it in a certain way. Again, explain to them why we do that and why we've got these policies and procedures that they will probably not like. Just have that conversation, learn from them, but challenge everyone to come to the table with new ideas and better ways of working.
Well, I appreciate we're coming to the end of our time here.
It's a good place to finish.
Actually. Oh, I was going to say, I didn't want to steal a last question
because there isn't a last question. There's loads more, but let's...
Yeah, you can join us on the Mr. Price mini-series that we're going to be doing. So, well, it's been great. And, you know, before we wrap up, we did talk about this on the last episode, as if IT is not challenging enough, you decided to challenge yourself to do something else in April. Do you want to tell people a little bit about what you're doing, why you're doing it?
Yeah, London Marathon, 21st of April, 26.2 miles. So never done one before, first time and last time, hopefully.
You might get a book. You might want to do loads.
Well, I don't think the wife will let me, to be fair. But there we go. No, thanks very much for listening and having me on today.
And we can sponsor you on the link, Dave.
Sponsor me on the link. On the tubes, MS Society, charity close to my heart. So yeah, no, anyone who would like to sponsor, please do. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, we'll make sure we get the links in the show for doing that. So, Dave, look, I really appreciate doing these couple of episodes with us.
Thank you.
Tons of really interesting insight. You know, and I think everybody watching this will have learned something from it. And you know, of course, feel free to send us back your comments. We can pass comments on to Dave. The polite ones certainly. But they've been great. Really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. So, look, if you want more of this top quality information and top quality insights, because that's what it is, then do subscribe. You can subscribe here on The Tubes and you can subscribe in all good, bad and indifferent homes of podcasts, but wherever you get your podcasts from. But until next time, thanks for watching Tech Takeaways.